the time. So there we go. So, actually everybody here but Dustin is used to me recording. Right, okay. So, what I passed out is the Child Psychotherapy QSEC coding manual and the sorting sheets. Okay, let me just explain now what this stuff is. I gave you two manuals each because your task for the next time we get together is to construct your own cue set with index cards. Laura, do you happen to have yours with you?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. So what I need you to do is I need you to go through the manuals with a pair of scissors and cut out each item. Now, unfortunately, office services, when I had them make this up, I told them not back to back. And guess what? They did it back to back. So if you cut out, let's say, item 41, that's going to mess up item 45. So then you take the other manual and you cut out item 45 to make item 45. Does that make sense? So that's why I gave everybody two manuals, so you could come up with one cue set. So how many manuals does it take to make a cue set? Actually, I have an adult cue set. I'm just going to run to my office and get it.
Okay. So you guys can see.
I have so much work to do. I have a testing report that I'm doing the feedback with the parents tomorrow, and the treatment plan, and I didn't really know how to bring.
Hey, what you? My mom's in town. I'm just hanging out.
What's your name? Problems Con.
Oh yeah.
I went to UC. I'm gonna play once.
Oh really?
It's like an hour and a half, right?
Yeah. A bunch of my friends used to go to BC,
oh, yeah.
So I would go.
Mm-hmm.
My sister goes there. She's actually graduating right now
from oh, really?
There. So I'm going up to BC actually tonight to
oh, really?
For graduation.
Huh. Yeah, like Providence, I planned that too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so somebody
yeah.
made this up for me, and these look really nice. I'll just pass this around. We'll take a look at it.
Maybe I will just make DVDs. Sending is 0.1% complete. Oh, 0.2. I'm just gonna make CDs. I'm gonna put this account. It's even this is like the fast, like unslowed down version, because that's your incentive to buy the plan, is that it's not slowed down. It's still.
Oh, so you paid? You already paid for the account?
Yeah, but I can cancel it at any time. But I guess, yeah, it'll charge the $10. But,
I mean, it's a massive file. Two
it
gigabytes.
I don't know why. It's that clinic video camera, and each session, like, it'll cut off the file at 1.99 gigabytes and then start a new file. That's why all my therapy sessions are two files.
Right.
Because it's like, and it's about half and half. Like, the first file will always be like 1.99, and then the second file will be like 1.7 or 1.8 to get like the 50-minute session.
Yeah. I know someone who bought a flash camera. I don't know if you've ever seen these. These are video cameras that are very small, and they can take videos, and then they plug right into your USB port.
Wow.
And you can then you upload the file as a Windows Media Player
that's
file.
That's what this one is. That's what this one does. Like, the camera goes straight to...
Oh, it does?
Yeah, because
okay.
I put these straight into my computer, and I just drag and drop the file, and
yeah.
It's really quick. It takes, like, 2 minutes, goes right onto my computer. But this sending it online, trying to send it to you, it's 0.8% complete now. So, maybe by the end of...
Maybe by the end of the meeting.
By the end of the meeting, something will have happened. But I'll just make DVDs. This is ridiculous. And for each one of you to like sit and then upload it to your computer, it's going to take just as long.
All right. So just bill me for the DVD.
Yeah, yeah, and that'll just keep easier.
All right.
Less time in the long run.
So, if you look at your manuals, you'll see that each item is in bold. And beneath that item are descriptors of the item. Place toward characteristic direction if, and place toward uncharacteristic direction if. And we'll go over that more in this meeting. But when you're making these cards, be sure to cut out the entire item plus the descriptors. Don't just cut out the bold items and put them on the cards. Put the item plus the descriptors on the index cards that you make. That's going to help you to decide where to place the item along the 9 piles, and we'll talk about that. Okay? Then I want to just draw your attention to one error, item 77. Item 77 has an error. So be sure you change it on both copies of your manual. The item in bold is correctly worded, but the descriptors are reversed. So descriptor 1 should read place toward uncharacteristic direction, and descriptor 2 should read place toward characteristic direction. Okay, so add un to the word characteristic in the first descriptor and cross out un in the word uncharacteristic in the second descriptor. Does that make sense? And be sure to do it on both copies.
I don't know how that slipped past your dissertation chair.
Well, not to be too maudlin, but he was dying of cancer as she was completing her dissertation. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing happens. And Rico Jones, who developed the PQS, mm-hmm. helped Celeste develop the CPQ, and he died in 2003, right before she defended. So I'm sure a lot of things got shoved aside and overlooked. So, let me just go over some Q-sort theory, methodology. So let's look at your sorting guide. Now for two of you, this is going to be kind of boring, but for the other two of you, it's going to be really exciting. Right, Larry and Giacomo? Really exciting.
Exciting
books. All right, so you've got...
Yeah, I'm going to be confused.
You've got your Q sorting sheet here. This is the actual coding sheet that we're going to be using, and that you're going to be entering into the computer at some point, and then sending to me every week. So the way Q sorting works is that you take an item and you have to place it in one of these 9 piles here. And the piles on the left represent being uncharacteristic of the psychotherapy session that you're coding. And the piles on the right of the distribution indicate that the item is more or less characteristic of the session that you're coding. Now remember, what we're coding here is what's known as psychotherapy process. And I'll get into that in a minute. I just want to get the mechanics down first. So, if you know anything about distributions, continuous versus categorical variables, you know that rank ordering items is a type of continuous variable. Anybody know the word, the term for that?
Ordinal.
Ordinal, exactly. So, actually, you're going to be creating an ordinal scale. You're rank ordering these items from 1 to 100, and rather than putting them in order from 1 to 100, we're making it a little bit easier for you. We're putting them in piles. So we're saying that for pile 1, these 5 items are going to be ranked the same. They're not going to be ranked differently from each other. Now, if we really wanted to be anal retentive, we could say, well, this item is the least characteristic of all of them. This is the second least characteristic. This is the third least characteristic. That would be very painful, don't you guys think? Mm-hmm. Pretty painful. This is painful enough, right?
100 piles.
100 piles.
Yeah.
Piles of one.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of painful. So the QSOAR methodology is a way of making the whole procedure easier for coders. So what we have here is 5 items get placed in pile 1, 8 items in pile 2, 12 items in pile 3, 16 items in pile 4, 18 items in pile 5, 16 in pile 6, 12 in pile 7, 8 in pile 5, and 5 in pile 9. Did I say that right? 8 in pile 8, 5 in pile 9. All right. Now, if you look at the way that these items are distributed, what kind of a distribution does that create?
Normal.
It's a normal distribution, like a bell curve. So that the items out here represent kind of the outliers, otherwise known as the tails. So this is the left tail, this is the right tail. If you've taken stats, this makes some sense. The items in the middle are the items that are closest to the mean, the central tendency of this distribution. And so what really drives a particular distribution are the outliers. So when you're Q-sorting, the really, really important piles are the 1, 2, 3, and the 7, 8, 9 piles. The piles 4, 5, and 6 aren't that important. I mean, you have to make distinctions, but they're not as important as what goes out here in the tails. That's what really makes a distribution unique and distinctive. So you want to keep that in mind. So let's go further with the mechanics of this thing. So you watch a psychotherapy session. And, you know, we'll talk about what you have to look for and all of that. But, so you're watching this session, and then you sit down immediately following the session, Laura, and...
I wonder my own,
when
I remember the better. I know, sometimes I lag.
I'm teasing you. So, you hope preferably, it's preferable to do it right after you watch a session, and you might have to watch it a couple of times. So you watch the session, you're taking notes, you know, you're really zoned in. Then you sit down to Q-sort. What exactly do you do? You got these 100 items in your hand. You want to make sure that they're shuffled, random. There's no random order to these items. You just want to, because if you keep using them time after time and you don't shuffle them, you know, you might be seduced into putting them into the same piles they were in the last time. So it's nice to shuffle. Mm-hmm. Shuffling's good. So you start out with these items. So what do? You take each item, you read it, you read the descriptors, you think, okay, is this item characteristic of the session I just watched? Is it uncharacteristic? Or does it tend to be neutral, neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic? Okay? So when you're first beginning, you're putting the items into one of 3 piles. Generally uncharacteristic, generally characteristic, and neutral, neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic. Okay? Go to the next item. Does this item tend to be characteristic of the session I just watched, uncharacteristic, or neutral, neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic? And you go through all 100 items. This is called the first pass. You're taking the first pass through the deck of cards or items to distribute them into these 3 categories. All right. What you want to do is you want to make sure that in general, Most of these items are going into the middle pile. Why do I say that? Well, if you add 5 cards plus 8 cards plus 12 cards, that equals 25. Same on the right tail, 25 cards. If you add 16 plus 18 plus 16, what do you get? 50. So you got 25, 25, and 50 equals 100, right? So what you want to do is when you're going through with the first pass, you want to make sure that the middle pile gets twice as many items in it, roughly. It doesn't have to be perfect right now. The middle pile gets twice as many items as the two outer piles, the right and the left pile. Roughly. It's not going to be perfect because you're just going through first pass. Okay? Then what I do is, and by the way, everything that I'm telling you is in this manual. First, so read the manual. The first few pages describes all of this. Then what I do is I go to the uncharacteristic pile. And I look at those items a second time. And I make a decision to put them in one of the three left piles here. Pile 1 is 5 cards. Pile 2 is 8 cards. Pile 3 is 12 cards. So I'm Q-sorting these items into whether it's one of the 5 most uncharacteristic items of this session, whether it's the 8 items that are next to least most uncharacteristic, and then the 12 items, they're uncharacteristic, definitely, but they're not one of the more extreme uncharacteristic. When I'm done with that, then I go to the right pile. I do the exact same thing. I find the 5 items that are most characteristic of this session, the 8 items that are next to most characteristic, and then the 12 items that are just plain old characteristic. Now, having said all that, you and I both know that when you go through the first pass, the number of items in each pile is not going to be perfect. You're not going to have exactly 25 items in the first pile, 50 items in the second pile, and 25 items in the third pile. You might if you're lucky. Chances are it's not going to be exact. So chances are one of these piles is going to have less than 25 items, and the other pile is going to have more than 25 items. So obviously, with the pile, let's say the right pile, the characteristic pile, has 27 items, just for the sake of argument. You're going to have 2 leftover items. Well, automatically, they're going to make up 2 of the items in pile 6, one of your neutral piles. Does that make sense? So 2 of the leftover items, they're automatically going to be in pile 6, right? You got to push those over. This whole distribution is called a forced choice distribution. Why is it called forced choice? Because it's forcing you to put every item, a certain number of items in every pile. You can't put 6 items in pile 1. You can't put 4 items in pile 1. You have to put 5 items in pile 1. You have no choice about that. Similarly with the other piles, you have to put the number of piles it's indicating at the top of the distribution of the pile number. You have to do it. So if you have 27 items in this third pile after the first pass, those 2 extra items have to go somewhere. You just can't toss them in the waste can. They have to go somewhere, so you're going to put them in pile 6. Now, let's say you did pile 1 and you had only, let's say, 23 items in pile 1. All right, so you get your distribution pretty much set, but you're going to have 2 spaces open in pile 3 where you're missing 2 items for that third pile. So what do you do? Well, when you go to the final pile, which is the middle pile, to go through the second pass, and you're distributing the items into piles 4, 5, and 6, you want to make sure when you start doing that, after you get your pile 4, 2 of those items are going to have to go into pile 3. You have to shove them into pile three, even though initially you didn't think they were, two items were uncharacteristic. You thought it was more neutral. You're going to have to shove two items into pile three. You're just going to have to do it. All right, so that whole process, it's a two-pass process or a two-step process that I'm recommending. If you ask Giacomo and Laura, our Q-sorting experts, I think they're going to tell you that that's the easiest way to do it. Am I right? Or?
Yeah. That way works.
Yeah. I mean, I've adapted a little bit, but I think Giacomo it's easiest to start out
cool
like that.
Giacomo has a cool way, too, but
I don't want to confuse them.
Yeah, when you get to Giacomo's level, we can talk about advanced Q-sort mechanics, but right now...
This is definitely the way that I started doing it, and it's the easiest way to think of it, like, first, like, in these three categories, and then split it up. And the other thing I would just say is, like, I always think of these five cards at the top and at the bottom of, I just think of what I want to highlight from the session. Like, the same way as, you know, if you're, you know, giving a feedback to a client or something, and you like plan out sort of what are like the three things I want them to take away from this session or whatever, like, you know, you think of like what are the five things that are really just that you just want to stand out, and which are the five things on the other side to stand out, and then things that should stand out but aren't so key go here and here and here and here. So
Sylvia has just joined the group. I'm recording this. How was the traffic?
2 hours, 22 miles. Pretty bad.
Yikes.
But I made it. I survived.
Well, that's good. It's 10 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Or less than 10 miles an hour.
20 miles an hour at exit 35. Before it was only 10.
So usually on Thursdays you guys have class, right? So you'll be here already?
Yeah. I have never, you know, I'm never going to come in the afternoon.
Right.
I mean, I'm
no, that's the worst. Morning. Like, I came in at 3 just to skip it and just brought work.
That's exactly what I'm going
to
do next.
It's
sweater.
Yeah, the traffic in the sun is coming.
Now, if you all had a Prius, you could just take the HOV lane, but, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Even if you're just one person, you're allowed?
Yeah.
With the clean pass sticker
or
whatever? I have no idea.
Yep.
The incentives just keep on coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just zip.
Hybrid carism is rampant.
It's cool.
Preferential treatment.
Yep. So we're just going over, I mean, you know this stuff, Sylvie. We're going over mechanics of Q-sorting.
Okay, good.
All right. So any questions about how that works? Dustin, Leia, you're okay?
I'm okay for now.
Okay, all right. So, now that we've gone over that, let me go over how you actually record your responses. So, you take each pile, like, so you theoretically should have 9 piles in front of you, right, that mirror this distribution. Basically what you do is you take pile 1, you look at the item numbers, and you write them into the spaces. Right, take pile 2, look at the item numbers, write each item number in the spaces, and do that for all 9 piles.
Doesn't matter which order.
Well, I can only tell you what I do. I like to put them in chronological order because when I then enter them into the computer, it's easier for me.
Okay, yes.
So I like doing it that way. You don't have to. I would recommend that, but you don't have to do that. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say this is why, I don't know if you guys want to come see on my computer, that because like if you put them in chronological order here, the way you're going to enter it into an Excel spreadsheet is like in the first column here, just write the card numbers 1 through 100. Write 1 through 100 straight down in the first column. And then by vertical columns, you're going to list. So this is, I have it, like, here's the session number. This is session 15 and the date. And then you're going to go down. So here, card 1, you're going to look on your thing, find where you wrote card 1. And then that's the pile number that I have there. So 1 through 9. Mm-hmm. So it does make it easier because then you're like, okay, I'm on card 1. You're looking towards the top. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the 40s and 50s, you're looking around the middle. It sort of makes for less searching time.
Yeah, let me pull one up. I just have to get my numbers.
Right.
piles, right? So it doesn't matter.
Right, within a pile, it's not ranked any smaller than that, yeah. So you're gonna have several, you know, with the same number assigned when you get to the spreadsheet.
We needed to.
I just emailed you one.
What's that?
I just emailed you one if you, or you can.
And Sierra.
Okay, now these are Laura's Q sorts.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, you've never seen this, have you?
Yeah,
this
no,
is your.
I've seen how it goes into your, because you take what I sent, because I sent him this, and then you put it into.
Exactly.
That.
So, each session.
Because he's my supervisor, so you get him as a supervisor, you sort every week.
Right, so if you request me as a supervisor, you'll be Q sorting your brains out. Anyway.
You make stuff for it.
So each session that you Q sort is going to be labeled, and you know we'll label it chronologically or whatever. I mean, you see how I do it here: sesh, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then in variable view. This is an SPSS. You can also do an Excel. I'll accept Excel.
Yeah, and
I'm happy with that.
And then you could use these numbers on the side here like Jeff does, or you could write them in here because I like them bolded.
So then in variable view, you see here, I label each session by the date on which the session took place because Laura sends that information to me as well. So, so on the left here, you see the case numbers. These, we're going to use these numbers as the item numbers. You don't have, I know Giacomo does this, you actually don't have to, but you do, it's fine. You can actually create a separate variable with the item numbers in them. Oh, you do it too?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to, but that's fine. The case numbers can serve as the item numbers. And if I scroll down here, you'll see that it'll go to 100. Right? So 100. So you don't have to create a new variable with the item numbers. The case numbers serve that purpose just fine. But if you want to, you can. And then what you'll do is you'll take a session here.
Don't worry about those first two columns.
That's don't worry about that. Those are prototypical Q sorts, and we don't need to get into that right now. I mean, I can explain it at some point, but not today. So session one, what you're going to do is you're going to take your sheet, your coding sheet, and you're going to look for, and you're going, it's all completed now, right? It's all filled out. You're going to look for item number one. Where is item number one on this sheet? Ah, it's in pile four, right? So I'm going to type in 4 under item 1. Okay? Where's item 2? It's in pile 4. I'm going to type in pile 4. Where's item number 3? I look. It's in pile 8. So I'm going to type in 8. And I'm going to do that all the way down to item 100. Sylvia.
I don't know if it helps you or if you can make it more difficult. Like, I do it a little bit differently there, maybe.
What?
Do you?
I don't know what it's first.
Yeah, no, I just, like, I look at my sheet, and then I go, like, all the ones, and I put in all the ones. And then I go to the bottom, and then the other one, I start from the bottom, and I go up. So, like, I keep going like this, so I save time. But that's my way of doing it. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah, I do each number right.
I guess you can like try what works best for you, what's more.
Well, once it's in each of the numbers, like 1 through 9, I put them in like order in each of them, and then you just go through each number 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of having to search through.
Oh, everybody does something.
I might try it that way this time.
So as you can see, there's a variety of methods. There are many ways of skinning this cat. I'm telling you the conventional way.
But it's really no fun when you get to the end of the spreadsheet and you're like, how do I have 102 cards? So, you
ouch.
Know, it's always good to, like, look at your computer every once in a while and don't try to touch type it. I keep checking them.
Yeah, that's
obsessively.
Not good.
I don't think I've ever sent something with, like, a number missing or anything.
Never.
I'm pretty obsessive about it. So it helps, though.
I don't think Sylvia or Giacomo have either.
I always check before I send it like a couple of times just to make sure that all the things are
filled. Make sure they're all filled in.
I think Alana did once.
Zero.
You guys were very good. Of course, Kia never
did. Yeah, I remember there was one word.
Of course not. There was not even
one
doubt about that.
So, does that make sense? Now, you can do this in Excel. And then just save the file, and I would save it with the name of the variable that you've created to designate your distribution. So if it's SES1, name the file SES1, right? And then, name it SES1, and then put your initials in the file name as well so I know whose it is. So say, SES1LB. Leia Burger, or LB SES1, whatever you want to do. That'll help me know that which session are you coding, are you sending me, and whose session coding is this. And then I will take the file, I'll open it up on my computer, hopefully I won't get a virus, and I will, what I do is I copy it, and then I paste it into an SPSS file, and I fool around with it a little bit and make it look pretty like this. And then I might, add something into the variable view, like the dates of the session or whatever. But you see here the names of the variables. So, is that pretty straightforward? Excel is fine. I take Excel, that's okay. But, if you don't have, does everybody have Excel or SPSS?
Not SPSS, I think I have Excel. I have
Excel comes with like the Office package.
Yeah,
so if you have Word, PowerPoint, it comes with it.
Okay, great. Have you ever used Excel before?
No, I've used SPSS, but I'm assuming it's...
It's almost exactly the same as SPSS. It's a spreadsheet, basically.
Right.
You enter the data just like you would in SPSS. You have Excel?
Yeah, I have SPSS.
Okay.
Do we need to enter the date? Were you saying that we enter the date on the variable view?
Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
I can take care of that.
Yeah, I'll send you the sessions numbered, so it'll have a session number on the file that I send you, so you can just use the same number, but I probably won't send dates with it, I'll just send the numbers. So.
Yeah, that's fine. The dates aren't that important for what we're doing. But that brings up a good point. We're coding data from California, but we're going to be practicing first on sessions that have been kindly donated to us by Laura and her patient and her patient's family.
Yeah.
And they have signed release forms for us to use their data, but of course, you can't share these data with anybody. These are private psychotherapy sessions where confidentiality has been promised, and we can't go through and blot out the face of the kid. Not only because it's just not practical, but also because we need his facial expressions for some of the items to code properly. So that's just not feasible. So you need to not show these videos to anybody else. Keep them, tightly guarded. Don't let anybody look at them, and we should be fine. But just to know that this family has very generously allowed us into their homes and their families, in a sense. And also, Laura's been very generous to show
us
this.
Don't go gossiping around the program as to how bad or even good of a therapist I am. It's just,
Yeah, I mean, this is just
for
research purposes.
That I'm learning too.
Exactly. This
is
just
my first client ever, so.
Exactly, this is just for practice research purposes. We want to kind of get up to speed with inter-rater reliability, and then we'll move to the real sample. But we have to practice first, otherwise, you know, we're going to screw up the real sample. So, and you know, hopefully we get a paper out of this, and if we don't establish inter-rater reliability, it's going to be very difficult for us to publish anything from the data. So, having said that, it's important to practice. And as I said, Laura has been gracious to enough to allow us to practice on her Q-sorts. Now, I don't have the money to pay you for the practice Q-sorts. I will pay you $25 for every real Q-sort that you complete. All right.
But probably the better you do on the practice Q-sorts, the quicker you'll reach
yes.
an appropriate inter-rater reliability level, and the quicker you can get to the money.
So show me the money!
Because, you know, I'm trying
absolutely.
Quickly.
And also, you know, we only have a limited number of Laura sessions. How many do we have here?
I've got 18 right now, but
okay.
The video camera will be back this week, so I'll start taping some more.
Okay, so you owe me 4 sessions, or because I only have 14 here.
Yeah, well, along the way, there were a couple weeks when I didn't Q-sort, so it looked like now
okay.
there are, well, I just sent you one today, so I guess then there were 3 weeks
okay.
this whole year that I didn't Q-sort. I can go back.
So actually, we have, all right, so we have actually sessions that weren't Q-sorted by you, but we
yes.
have them. So we
yeah,
have 18.
We've got 18 tapes.
Okay, so
and
we've
then
got.
I've got 15 that I've Q-sorted, but
right.
that doesn't really help
okay.
as much. It's my all
right.
biased Q-sort.
Well,
we'll see what it is.
What would be interesting is to see with practice how different or alike your Q-sorting.
My Q-sorts would be to my own.
Yes.
Yeah, trying to look even more objective.
Right, what the
again.
Correlations will be.
Well, Glenay could use that data.
Huh?
Lene could use that data, or my Q-sorts compared to one of theirs.
Oh, absolutely.
That
well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to actually intercorrelate everybody's Q-sorts and see.
We'll see how biased mine
see,
really
see
are.
See whether there are some natural teams forming. People see things naturally alike or naturally
so
differently.
So to start with, you want me to send the same session to everybody?
Yes.
And everybody will do, and then
absolutely.
You'll break them up into teams based on who matches whom. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to.
Same session everyone.
Yeah, we're not going to go to teams anytime real soon.
Okay.
I just want to see.
So we've got plenty of sessions then. 18 sessions if you're all them.
Yeah.
18. For all of us to practice on the same number is a lot.
Right. Yeah, we
right.
probably won't need that many sessions.
Right.
How many
yeah.
are they told that we. For real, like, really?
In the real sample, there are 51.
That doesn't mean. And we're all doing, so is it a 3-team?
Well, it depends upon how people do, and I reserve the right to pull someone aside and say this isn't working out. If someone really is not establishing stand, or if somebody just doesn't have the time to put in, or whatever for whatever reasons. So I want to see how people do. What's that?
At least 2 teams.
Yeah, I'm hoping for 2 teams. 3 would be great. 3 would be great. We've got 7 people who have expressed an interest in doing this. So, by the way, Sylvia, this is Dustin Cahood.
Yeah, we introduced.
Okay. He's somebody who wants to get into our program, and mm-hmm. and he contacted me, and he's doing some research with me and some stuff. So.
Well, I still.
He hasn't applied yet.
I haven't applied yet.
But he likes this program a lot. And so he'd like to get some research experience, so I thought this would be good for him. And he has said that he has a strong interest in this, so we're on board. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, we got 7 people. We could form 3+ teams. We'll see how it works out. I know from experience doing the same kind of coding with the adult Q-sort that teams come and go. So Kia had a lot of difficulties with the coding of her dissertation because people dropped out and and people like Sylvia came in and filled in, and so, you know, I'm anticipating the same kind of revolving door for a while anyway, so just from experience. So that's kind of how we're going to work. Does that make sense, everybody? So what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to come prepared with a printout for everybody. Well, I'll probably email it to everybody before the meeting, which shows the intercorrelations among everybody. So if you find your column, you'll see how you correlate with everybody else. And everybody will be designated by their initials. All right, so then you can see who you correlate well with and who you correlate less well with. And if that becomes a trend, then maybe we will pair people up according to how they see the data that way. But hopefully everybody's going to, you know, see things pretty similar to each other. I mean, that's the whole purpose of training, so that you all see things the way I see things. It's funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm the gold standard, then everybody needs to see things my way. That's just the way that the coding teams work, you know?
So you're coding with us?
Huh?
So you're coding with
us? I might code a few with you. Yeah. I might see how this works.
Yeah, or at least watch the videos so you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I'm going to watch the videos.
People are looking for.
Whether I code or not, I haven't decided yet. I did not code for Kia's dissertation, but I did read the transcripts, at least until we divide up into two teams, but... So that's what we're doing.
I did have a question pertaining, because I know with Kia's dissertation group, you would sit down and if there was a disagreement, you know, look through the script. How would it work this way? Are we going to watch the videos all together?
We're gonna, I'd like to have my computer set up like this, and
like scroll
there's a
time point.
Exactly. I mean, I haven't worked this all out of my head yet, but I think that's what we would do.
How long would the meetings typically run? Because I have group at 6 every Thursday.
So I'm hoping, you know, an hour a piece.
Okay.
Like,
also,
like before?
Yeah.
We also have supervision.
Oh, yeah, they're
doing
it.
Thursday is 4:30.
4:45.
The possible wrinkle is I think Marshall's report writing class is supposed to go till 5, but we're going to push for it to end at 4:30 because some people have clients starting at 4:30 because we've always had classes end at 4:30. So I'm pretty sure he'll agree. He's pretty flexible and I don't think he needs the whole class time. So we're going to push for that in the
first
class.
Plus, I think
class.
One of those trains leave around then. 4:30.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have to let us out at 4:30. So I think 4:45 will work, but I will let you know if 5 o'clock is, you know, not fungible. And then I guess we'll just try 5.
Well, 5 would be okay with me, but you have, what do you have at 6?
Yeah, I have a run group, and they have supervision because they do individual for
only until the 12th of June.
Until June 12th.
Until June 12th. And when does Marshall's class begin?
Not next week, I think the
weekend. I mean, in time. What time of day?
It begins at 2. So it's supposed to be 2 to 5. So I think he'll be okay with ending it at 4:30. Because I don't think he's going to...
And the alternative is maybe moving the whole meeting up to, like, 1?
We have class from 12:30 to 1:45. We don't even get a lunch break. We get 12:30 to 1:45 and then 2 to 5.
So you guys are going to be fried for this meeting.
Yeah, and then meetings.
Not Dustin, but you guys.
Yeah, it's Thursday's a long day, but it's a good day because we're all out here anyway. I mean, no one's going to want to come in on Wednesday.
Yeah, no,
so I think it's got to be Thursday.
No,
there's not better
yeah,
time. Unless people want to come in at 11 or
4.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to be fried too?
No, I'm not yet. That's just for the summer. Because
you would be running in my traffic if it's the same. I mean, thanks, God, you would go my way.
Yeah.
Would people at all want to do?
I don't know. Like in a different room
in the morning. Like 11 or 10:45, like before we start class.
We have better.
We may have.
You have your class. You have a morning class?
Yeah, yeah. About 10 to 12. All right.
The service
then this is going to be the only time.
Never tried it.
So I could do mornings.
Okay. Yeah. You could do the morning.
But you guys have...
Because all I have really...
Yeah. You don't want to commit earlier than time.
I have my own therapy, but that could go into the evening hours, and then I have you for supervision and Chris, and then this, that's all I have.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, but you guys can't do Thursday mornings, though, so...
Yeah, class. Yeah. We can do noon, but you guys can't.
We're in class.
Wow, yeah. You guys are really booked.
But you know what? Classes only go through the end of June, so if this is going to, so you know, yes, keep on going in July and August, then that'll be...
And you remember that I will be gone in July for 3 weeks. And then,
I'm out for 2 weeks in August too. I didn't think of that. But I figured I could send it in.
Well, let's just give up.
The end.
You can figure it out.
But we can send them in. I mean, I can send them in when I'm on vacation. I just can't come to meeting.
Totally. It's only about the meeting. I can definitely do them from wherever.
You can join us through by teleconference.
I did my interviews like that, so I can do the meeting.
All right. I'm taking my vacation early. I will not be here next week or the following week. So we'll meet on June 5th. So what will happen is you will have your QSET decks all made up, and you will have coded Laura's first session. We will get it to you somehow.
Yeah, at this point, where's my file transfer at? 17.6% complete. I think.
Ouch.
I'm just going to put it on, and I started at the beginning of this. So, I'm coming in tomorrow. I can put this in your box tomorrow, and then whenever you guys can get them, you can get them.
And it's in DVDs?
Yeah, I'll put them on, but it'll be like, it won't be like to play in a DVD player. It'll be like a file, like a computer file on a, burned onto a DVD. So if you stick it in your computer, you can play them using Windows Media Player.
Okay.
And it works.
You said it's like 2 gigs. If I just put my...
It's going to be like 3, almost 4 gigabytes on each. Yeah, they're like 4 gigabytes, yes.
I'm just thinking, would I be able to just throw it on my iPod and... that
you might be able to. I mean, if you plugged into your iPod to my computer and just dragged and dropped, we could try it. If
I mean,
you want to bring
easier for you. I mean,
bring in your iPod next week and we'll see if it works.
Okay.
But I mean,
we're not meeting next week.
Week.
Oh, in the next. I mean,
we're meeting 3 weeks from today.
The 5th, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And then our group really wanted to figure, because it's only 1 week after.
Yeah, it's only 1 week more than
that.
So we could go over to 6. If it's, I mean, if it wanted.
Yeah, for us as well. We
but for you, I'll have to get you the CD somehow.
Okay.
During this time period. What do you want? Do you want
to
keep?
Well, maybe just give it to them every time we come in each session. Every Thursday.
You can just come by and pick it up.
You would want to come pick it up from here? I could leave it for you here.
Yeah.
You want to put it in my mailbox?
Okay.
You can get it from my mailbox?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
And then the rest of them I'll just put on you guys' clinical?
Yeah.
So you can put two in my mailbox, one for Dustin and one for me.
Yeah. Okay, so for each session, maybe I'll get these. I don't want to put them in Kinko's, though. I don't think that's very confidential. Mm-hmm. I'll have to think about this.
All right. Let me just go over brief. I know we're a little over time. You can go.
Oh, okay.
I just want to go over briefly exactly what you're looking for when you do the coding. These items are divided into three groups or categories. One is interventions. Bye, Giacomo. Thanks. One is the interventions on the part of the therapist, what the therapist says or does in the sessions. A third of the items have to do with patient actions, what the patient says or does in sessions. And then the final third of items have to do with the interactions between the patient and the therapist. How they interact with each other, what they say to each other, what topics are discussed, what the feeling is in the room together, those kinds of things. So when you're looking at the videotape or the video, you know, be looking for, you know, what the therapist is doing and saying, what the patient is doing and saying, and what they're, how they're interacting with each other, what they're doing together, what they're saying together, what the tone and the flavor of the session is. Those are the things that you want to be looking for. And before you code the first session, be sure to really look at these items very carefully. If you have any questions about what they mean or what they're all about, please email me and I'll try to answer them for you. Laura, is there anything that you want to say about the QSOAR deck and looking at video and then coding video? Do you take notes?
I take notes, and it's hard to take notes at first because you're not so familiar with the items, but once you're really familiar with the items, you can quickly jot down a note, like, you know, and even because I QSOAR my own sessions, I'm even thinking sometimes in the session, I can't help but think in terms of the QSOAR cards, and I'm like, oh, remember to, you know, write something about, you know, insight, or move that insight card in a certain, like, I'll just sort of, like, remember it that way, but once you know sort of that there's a card for, you know, gains new insight, or there's cards for the child's activity level and stuff like that, you'll sort of be making mental notes of that. Yeah, so that's the thing, like, just you want to pay attention to, like, what the child is doing during the session, what the therapist is saying, and, like, the interaction, but just like what you just said, like, I don't think there's many cards about what the therapist is doing, so much as what the therapist says or how they say it. There's stuff about how he's playing and what.
I'm just a little confused about, like, the difference between, like, the interaction versus the patient or the therapist.
Okay, so let's say that I say something insightful in the session. So that's a therapist item. I'm doing something, namely I'm saying something insightful. So is that characteristic of me in the session? Is it not characteristic? Is it kind of neutral, neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic? You know, how marked is me saying something insightful? Okay? So that's a kind of a therapist item. Another item might be patient plays with the toys. Well, how much of the session does the patient play with the toys? Is it the entire 45 minutes? Is it for 1 minute? Is it not at all? I mean, I have some child patients who just sit in a chair like an adult and just talk to me. They don't play with toys at all. So that item would go very uncharacteristic, right? And then there's some items where they address the interaction between the two. Patient and therapist are interacting in a collaborative manner, for example. I mean, you might think of some items.
Child includes therapist in play, or therapist, well, I guess that's kind of a child variable.
Is there the one where there's a competitive quality in the relationship? Is there in the
well, but that one's more like the child, whether the child competes with the therapist.
Here's item 38. Therapist and child demonstrate a shared vocabulary or understanding when referring to events or feelings.
Yeah. So that one can go both ways. That can be the child picking up on the words the therapist uses, or vice versa. The child using idiosyncratic kind of words and the therapist using those two to build rapport and be on the same page.
Exactly.
So that's a sort of two-way kind of interaction.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
But when you read, like those are really invaluable, the little paragraphs underneath the
item.
Because just reading what's in bold does not help me at all. Like, when I go through it, I read the whole thing because I really, what's in bold is
they're sometimes not even complete sentences. It's very short. So when you really want to know, like, what is this card really getting at? And sometimes it's not quite what you think it's getting at. So reading the whole thing really helps.
Especially the beginning. At one point, you'll know it. Like, you know, you read it so many times that you already know what that card says. But it takes some time. I mean, for a few months, I always have to. And one, I mean, little thing that I'm going to do, I don't know, like, because I'm not familiar with all the items, I definitely am going to read at least two or three times all the items before I code the first session. Because I remember my first couple of sessions, like, I was, like, kind of in the dark. Like, I didn't know what I was looking for, so I was...
Yeah.
I wasn't... Then when I would find the card, I was like, I don't remember if they did that, like, because I wasn't looking for it. But if you
right.
already have, if you read it, like, three times, you have an idea.
Read the items before you watch the session.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some things you
Several
can just ignore.
Because
it's never going to be like, did the child, you know, pretend to be a lion or something? You know, there's some things you can sort of ignore in terms of exactly, like, what the child is saying or doing. Some things you can, you know, not fill your mind with and pay more attention to, like, how they're saying it or other stuff.
Because that's what, like, takes you forever in the beginning, because then you're like, I don't remember,
don't
so you go back and you do it again.
Exactly.
And you, I mean, in this case, you would watch it again.
Said.
I would read the transcript again to find something, but still, it gets a little...
It's much more about process than content, I would say.
Absolutely.
Like, it's much less about...
It's the child psychotherapy process cue sort.
Exactly. But
right.
yeah, but it would get distracting if you're like, oh my gosh, I have to remember that, you know, the therapist said exactly this. It's more like sort of more like tone kind of variables, more about that.
All right, here's another interaction item. 68, real rather than fantasized meanings of experience are actively differentiated. And the child or the patient... I mean, the therapist or the child can do the differentiating. It could be either one, but that's considered an interaction.
And that's
item.
One of the ones that, like, that description of it doesn't make any sense to me. I have
because
to read the little
the
examples. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the examples really help too. Because sometimes the sessions, the example happens just the way it is on the card, and sometimes it's different, but the example still helps you.
And like another thing that might have been helpful that I would always get wrong in the beginning is like. For something to be in the uncharacteristic pile, if I'm wrong, like, it has to be uncharacteristic. Like, it's just like, it has to be, let's say, of course, nothing comes to mind, like, something like, okay, they talk about sex, which is for adults, but if it never comes up at all, because they were talking about their neighbor, like, so sex had nothing to do with it, it doesn't go into one, because it had nothing to do with it. That's what I would do in the beginning, like, oh, there was no sex at all, and they're saying one. But that's wrong, because that would be, like, they're avoiding to talk about sex.
Yeah,
right?
Sylvia is right.
Like
this
that
is more like advanced coding technique.
It's
but I don't. Well, I don't want to overwhelm people, but you're absolutely right. If an item doesn't occur, you don't. There's no instance of a particular item in a session, it would probably go in a more neutral pile. It would go in one or two if there was a demand for that item and someone was resisting it, like the sex item in the adult cue sort.
Or
so
the child one.
Sex,
sex item
okay.
The child one too.
All right. So it's sex was discussed. Well, maybe it wasn't discussed, but maybe a child was being sexually provocative and the therapist was ignoring it. Therapist wasn't paying any attention to it, not addressing it. That's a resistance of the sex item. So that would go in one, because sex wasn't discussed, but it should have been, and it wasn't. So it would go in one. If sex just isn't a part of the session, you can't rate it one. You'd have to rate it in one of the middle piles. I mean, you'll see as we go along how that works. But Sylvia's absolutely right.
It took me like a lot of like 0.5.
But you don't have to memorize that at all, because that's on the card. Like, on the sex card, it'll say, rate uncharacteristic if, you know, talk of sex is actively avoided. You know, rate characteristic
Yeah, but
if
some of them aren't. Yeah, some of them aren't, though, and I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's.
Well, at least in the adult.
Some were not.
In the adult cue set.
Some would say that I would have it highlighted in yellow when it would say it, because it was easier for me, but sometimes just it would, like, expect you to. Which makes sense if you
Yeah, now, as I said, I've led a coding team before on this particular type of instrument. The difference this time is, though, we don't have active written transcripts. That's what we were coding before. Now we're coding video, so it adds some information to our coding, and also makes it more difficult to verify what we're seeing, because as Laura pointed out, how are we going to find the exact moment in the session? It, in some sense, it's easier to have a verbal transcription of the events, but in another sense, it's harder because you have less information. I mean, we get to see and actually hear these people, whereas with a transcript, the information is somewhat two-dimensional. We don't get the tone of voice, we don't get the visual, none of that. It's missing. So I think it's going to be both easier and harder. What do you think, Sylvia?
Definitely. I totally agree. Like, I never thought about the fact that we're not going to be able to, like, we would go back and say, okay, you put it in 7, I put it in 2. Why did you put it in 7? Okay, and you would say, because of this, this, this,
right.
this, and this.
Look at page 7, paragraph 2, see where the therapist said that, and we all turn to page 7, paragraph 2, and there's where the therapist said that, and it's easier to resolve discrepancies.
I am more with Kia, or I'm more with Sylvia with this one, because, and he was having it in front of him, but now it's just like us maybe telling you, oh, that's what it was about, that's what I remember.
And then we, you know, I'll have this set up every session, every meeting, and we can try to find an area of the, you know, session where this whatever took place. It's going to be a little bit more challenging, though, I think, to find exactly where it is, when somebody said something, and
but I also agree it's going to be easier in a way, because I remember when, like, at least Key and I sometimes would be like, all right, I don't think he was dismissive. Like, I took it as if he was, I don't know, it was his technique. And I would say, I really didn't, like, it's when you read a book, me and you could read the same page, and, like,
exactly.
But if you see it in interaction between two people, I don't know.
It might be less open to interpretation.
You'll be able to hear, like, my tone of voice,
exactly.
His tone of voice, you know, body language, stuff like that.
Right.
Maybe.
Now,
on paper, I can't imagine thinking about this client on paper, how, you know, you just wouldn't get him, but you'll see him, so
yeah,
it'll be better.
Right.
I feel like it'll come across, at least.
Now, when you guys are taking notes, when you're watching the video in anticipation of coding, you know, actually doing the cue sorting, you might want to jot down, oh, at minute 21, second 33, such and such happened. You might want to do that, because it'll aid in our ability to then go to that part of the session and review it in the group. So you might want to write down the minute and second of something that went on when you take your notes. Don't you think, Laura, that would be helpful?
Yeah, that would be really helpful. Just if things really stand out, or like the sort of things that you think you're probably going to put into the 1 pile or the 9 pile or something like
yeah.
that. You know, things that stand out, yeah, exactly, to make a note of the, because that's what I do for supervision too, like sometimes I'll make a note of where on the video and then like what I want to highlight, so.
Right. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, you know, whether reliabilities tend to be increased over the first coding team or tend to be decreased. I don't know how it's going to go.
But you also got to have different information.
Would it help to have you transcribe the...
Oh man, I think
you want to do it.
I think that'd be just an enormous amount of work that I wouldn't be able to pay anybody to do. I want to see how this works with just using the video. I'd like to see how it works. It might be okay. We'll see. What were you gonna say, Sylvia?
I was gonna ask what kind of therapy were we recording this time?
These are sessions of one child and one therapist in San Francisco using what's known as the Cornerstone Method. And it's generally a psychodynamically oriented method that's designed to work with certain populations of children. And Celeste Schneider actually has worked using this method in San Francisco. And this is a patient of a colleague of hers.
So we all
going to
be calling the same patient?
Yes. In the real sample.
In the real sample,
yes. Yes. Same patient, different sessions. It might make the coding easier because it's the same, you know, that patient will do different things every session, but she's not going to change. She's going to be the same you know, yeah. she's not going to do something totally uncharacteristic of her.
Although we all have to be careful not to like use the yes. information that we already know, like with both the practice
Absolutely.
Tapes and with the real tapes, the temptation is to like for
fill
me,
in the
for
gaps
example.
With information you have from a previous session. Each yeah. session has to be taken on its own terms. You can't right. think about other sessions at all. It's you're only coding the session in front of you. You have to forget about anything else.
Right, so like
each session
say,
is brand new.
Yeah. I was just going to give an example, like if you've seen several sessions with the same patient, you've Q-sorted like three so far, and in every session you've Q-sorted so far, the patient is super chatty, and then in the fourth session you're given to Q-sort, he's really silent, but you know, not really that silent, but just silent by comparison. You know, you've got to rate it as, if you had never seen this child before, how much do you really think he's talking, rather than in comparison to how you're used to seeing him, how much, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The temptation is there to introduce that bias. But
totally
try to,
agree.
Try to
and,
forget.
And, you know, here's where we're going with this. This is such a powerful tool. We want to be able to characterize a certain shape of this treatment, right? What's the shape of the treatment? If this patient is chatty for like four sessions in a row and then becomes quiet, how did that happen? Why did it happen? What did the therapist do or say to cause the child to become more withdrawn or more quiet? You know, we want to be able to map this out, and there are some very powerful statistical methods that we can apply to this methodology to help us to understand what caused what to happen in both within sessions and across sessions. So the entire treatment takes the shape of a particular trajectory, and that gives us some information about what might be effective in the treatment, what's not effective, what helps, what doesn't help. That's what process is all about. What elements of the process affected the outcome of this treatment? And we can show that over time with this kind of a process, this kind of a methodology. Does that make sense? So it's important that each session be taken on its own terms, and that nothing bleeds in from other sessions when you're coding it, because then it's going to be harder for us to show that process over time. If all the sessions are the same, then there's really no process. It's the same thing time after time. But if each session is different, it's a different snapshot. You know how a cartoon is made? You draw a picture, a stationary picture, and then you draw another one maybe a few seconds later, and another one a few seconds later, and you got like 50 of these. And have you ever seen this? And then you flip them
mm-hmm.
real fast, and actually mimics motion, right? Well, imagine each one of these Q-sorted sessions as a picture that you're drawing. And then we're going to put them together, and we're going to flip them. And it should tell a story. It should be a narrative that follows in motion. There should be motion involved. But if every picture is drawn the same way, and you flip it, it's going to look like a picture. There's going to be no movement. We want to see movement. How do we do that? Each session has to be taken on its own face value, with no knowledge, trying your best, no knowledge of any of the other sessions. So then we can get this movement when we flip the cards, like a cartoon, like a primitive cartoon. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
The analogy help?
Mm-hmm.
See you in 3 weeks. Thank you.
Jeff, do we have our papers in the...
In your mailbox.
Same question. All right, so guys, I'm actually thinking again that I'm going to try sending this online rather than making 6 DVDs every time we do this. Because it seems like it's taking about 3 hours to send a file, 3-4 hours to send a file, and I can just do it overnight, because I think I can send it to like all 6 of you like at once.
It's not going to stall, though, is it?
I don't know.
Is it going to take the same amount of time to download it?
I don't think so, because I think
No, uploading takes a lot more time than downloading.
I think now this is going to be uploaded to like a secure website, and you guys just, it'll come to your email, you'll click on the link, and it takes you to the website where it's already stored. So I think the long time will be on my computer, and I can just do it while I'm sleeping. Hopefully in the morning it will have sent. So I'll try this tonight. If it doesn't work, then I'll try and do it the BBB way, and I'll just make tons of copies. But I think this way will ultimately be faster, and I can just let it be.
Yeah, probably be less hassle for you.
Yeah,
you have free.
And I don't really want to take.
You're not charged for the amount of online service you use.
No, it's like a flat rate unless we go over that. You know, sending like 10 sessions a month. But I think it's like.
And then with your broadband connection at home, you're okay with that?
Oh no, that's just a flat rate.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
I don't think it'll charge me for taking up.
Okay.
I think it'll work this way, but I'll email you guys. Dustin, can I get your email address? You're the only person I don't have.
I wonder how,
and then
you have everyone else's, Laura?
Yeah.
Including Sarah and Shoshana?
Sarah and Shoshana. Okay, I'll just write down their names so I remember who it is. Yeah, I'll send it to them. I have their addresses.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.